We've got Mark Dorison here in the studio, chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners. Busy week for commissioners. They had a meeting yesterday. They'll get another meeting tomorrow. Commissioner, thanks for being here. And thanks for being 2 minutes late so we could hear Iggy Pop instead.
Oh, that if I'd have known that was the consequence, I would be late every time.
I've got this list of songs that we play on the air. And we're local during the 6 o'clock hour, but during the three to six, we play off of our list. We get this playlist every day. I'm like, ooh, Iggy Pop, done during the 5 o'clock hour. Absolutely.
Well, I like to think of that as my theme. It's
there
sort of
you
playing
go.
Me in, so
all
that's
right.
Great.
Every time. Well, I can pull it. We can have that be your theme every single week. We'll make it happen. Susan
great.
Brown was in last hour, and the closest thing that we could come up with for a good theme song was Sanford and Son's theme, which is probably not as good of a choice as Iggy Pop. We'll have to keep thinking about it.
I tried to play her theme in
with Rage Against the Machine, and she didn't go for it. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So yesterday's meeting of the county commissioners, a couple of big things. First of all, $2.5 million for affordable housing, which is a really big deal, and also signing off on the resolution in support of the Paris Climate Accords. Right.
That's right. It was a great meeting, actually. As you pointed out, you know, we voted to approve the first half of the affordable housing bond money. You know, that the citizens residents passed a $5 million bond in November. And one of the commitments the commissioners made early on was that we wanted to get that money out into the community as quickly as we could to really begin to address the need. And so it was an admittedly accelerated timeline, but, you know, 7 months from the vote to the first awards. And so that's a real tribute to the staff. To the housing providers who were able to, you know, put proposals together and come forward. And I think there are some really outstanding projects. So we've got, you know, the commissioner set some priorities about what we hoped this money would be used for, particularly to try to serve communities that we have been less successful serving over the past. I mean, there's been a lot of good affordable housing work, but it's been on a fairly limited scope of the spectrum of need. So in this round, we have Habitat is going to do some affordable housing for low-income seniors. So senior housing is one of those areas. And then we've got other projects, CASA and Empowerment, that are targeting rental properties, which is another big priority, that, you know, having affordable rentals and having it to be affordable for folks at the lower end of the income spectrum, below 60% of area median income, down to 30% of area median income.
And that was one of the things that you were talking about last time, like that dividing line, not the dividing line, but sort of the trade-offs between, do we spend less money on this or more money on sort of the even more underserved groups? And that's where we went this time, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
And that's exciting. And I think we also agreed last night as part of this that we really wanted to spend some time, you know, over the next few months looking at the process, seeing if the criteria we set up met our goals, you know, pulled in projects that we were looking for, and also get feedback from the providers to say, you know, what went well in this process, what didn't go as well, how can we make it better? Because in another year and a half, there'll be this other $2.5 million. And we've also got other money for affordable housing set aside that we want to make sure we're using as effectively and efficiently as possible.
So the next round is going to be in a year and a half for the rest of the money then?
I think it's actually it'll be in the 18-19 fiscal year.
Okay.
So that's when the process, so say probably 2 years from now, we'd be making awards again.
Mm-hmm. So these four projects, 24 townhomes at Waterstone, 16 rental units at Merritt Mill East, 12 at Merritt Mill West, and then a single family home. Are these shovels in the dirt ready? What's it? Shovel ready. That's the name of it.
Yeah,
that's the word I'm looking for.
I mean, I don't know when something is shovel ready.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the CASA projects still need to get some permitting approvals from the two towns. So I'm not sure they're actually ready to start digging, but they are all projects that we expect to come online and, you know, in 2018 and 19. So, I don't know how much faster you can do that. I mean, the Empowerment project is one that is rehabbing of an existing house. So that's the one that'll be done the most quickly. And, you know, we'll presumably have folks living there very soon.
It's frustrating to look at because there's four really cool projects, and all told, it's 53 units, right? So, like, the whatever we do to get these projects off the ground, the affordable housing need is always much greater and constant beyond what we seem to be able to do on a daily basis.
It's exactly right. You know, some folks have said, well, how is it we only got 53 units and, you know, we only had four proposals and, you know, the fact is that it's difficult and it's expensive. You know, one of the things we had hoped, some of us had hoped, was that we'd have a bigger bond. You know, there was a debate among the commissioners as to whether it should be $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told when we were debating that by the affordable housing community that, you know, that money is going to go quickly. I mean, these projects were ones that were already on the books, which is why they were able to be brought forward so quickly. So the providers knew we've got $2.5 million worth of projects ready to go. And so, so that's a challenge. You know, the goal was 1,000 affordable housing units. And so we've got a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's, you know, it's generally expensive to do, but the other thing is, and this is again to the point we talked about last week, the more challenging the population that you're trying to serve, the lower the income target, the nature of special needs populations, people with disabilities, people with mental health issues, requires more subsidy. So, you know, if you're going to, if you have recognized like we did that we have these gaps and we were committed to serving those gaps, we also need to understand it's going to take more money to do that.
Speaking with Mark Dorison, County Commissioners, talking about yesterday's meeting, you also signed off unanimously on the resolution supporting the climate change accord, right?
Yes, the commissioners have had a strong history in being leaders in environmental issues. You know, we have passed previous resolutions about climate change and about global warming, and so it was natural when the federal government decided to withdraw the United States from the Paris Accords that the county and like other local governments in Orange County have done to reaffirm our commitment to these issues.
What does the county do with regard to environmental issues? How can the county keep pushing for environmental friendly policies?
Well, there's a whole host of things the county has done, but you know, just on this particular issue, we had set specific targets about reducing carbon emissions in the county, about, you know, pushing towards, you know, greater and greater use of renewable resources. You know, we have a very very robust geothermal heating program that we use in county buildings and other. And so, you know, it's been a leader in recycling in those efforts. So it's really a comprehensive approach for the county in really monitoring its own energy use and carbon emissions and trying to, you know, be as innovative as possible whenever we can.
What can the county do that we're not currently doing?
I'm not sure, really. I mean, I think we're doing a lot of things, and we want to keep doing those. I mean, I think there are always new ideas and new possibilities. One of the, in the affordable housing discussion last night, there were some questions about whether we should, you know, whether the housing that we're subsidizing, how efficient is it? Should we be encouraging folks to build smaller units? And I think the providers are open to those kind of suggestions. So.
And speaking with Mark Dorison, OrangeCountyNC.gov, if you want more information about county goings-on. We're talking about this meeting that was yesterday. There's another one tomorrow at 7 o'clock where all of the county commissioners are going to miss the forum on the Confederate flag, which is happening literally at the same time. But it's an important meeting on the work session on the budget, right?
Yes, we have it's unfortunate that we have this scheduling snafu. I certainly would like to have been at the
public
forum.
You have this in June. Like, usually this is more of an April, May, or like March, April, May thing where everything gets scheduled simultaneously.
Well, you know, one of my pet issues as chair is trying to reduce the number of meetings that we have in Orange County. We have we have 52 meetings a year, which is the highest of any county commission. Durham is the next highest. They have 40. So But tomorrow night's meeting is one of the real, you know, kind of getting down to the details budget work session where we really start looking at, you know, are there things that we want to spend money on that are not in the budget or that we want to spend more money on? Are there things we want to spend less money on? How accurately does what we have in front of us from the manager reflect our priorities? Are there things that should be moved up in the priority and funded now and other things that could be shifted back a year? And so this is the part where it's really gets into the details of what we're trying to do. And, you know, we have that meeting tomorrow. Then we have another work session on Tuesday and another work session next Thursday. So the next three meetings are really about taking the manager's recommended budget, all the feedback we've gotten from the community, from schools, from nonprofits, from other groups, and really beginning to get from that moment to a final budget and how we do that.
I feel like I ask you this every single time, but what's the hardest decision you have left to make?
Well, you know, there's the hard decisions are always about, you know, do we want to raise taxes, right?
Yeah.
Do we need to increase revenues? Right now, I think the hardest decisions, they're not the hardest decisions themselves, but the hardest factor in all of these decisions is the significant pressure we're under from the legislature and mm-hmm. their continued cuts, their continued, restrictions on local governments. This anti-impact fee bill looks like it's starting to move in the Senate. That'll have significant impacts for the county. We were fortunate that the classroom size reduction didn't go forward this year, but it's still on the books to go into effect next year.
Yep.
So, and then, you know, we will be drawing down these bond funds, not just for housing, but for the schools, and that will have, you know, tax implications. So really trying to figure out, you know, how do we continue to meet the most critical needs in a fair and reasonable way without overburdening residents?
That's a really good point. And it's kind of it's the double-edged sword of not just restricting local governments and what they can do, but also making cuts at the state level and passing more of the buck down to local governments, which are now restricted in what they can do, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And so, yes, and so those limitations, particularly around education, which in Orange County is about half the budget.
Yeah.
I was just talking to a friend of mine in Halifax County. I told him that, and he said, really, in Halifax County, it's about 23% of the budget. And so, you know, again, budgets reflect values. And so with the cuts that are particularly harmful to education, changes around how charters might be funded, you know, how do you reconcile that with the value that the community has placed on our school systems is really a challenge.
And all of this is happening at the General Assembly under state House and Senate districts that have been declared unconstitutional by, I think at this point, literally every judge in America, right?
Yes, the legislative record in the courts is, to say it's not good is being overly generous.
I got a special session that did you get the word that Governor Cooper called the special session to redraw the district lines? Now, whether the General Assembly will or not is still up in the air, but they're going to be meeting for the next 14 days, and theoretically, that's the charge now for the next 2 weeks. What do you think is going to come of this, if anything?
I really don't know. I mean, I applaud the governor. I heard that his opponents call it a political stunt, which idea of anybody in Raleigh calling anything a political stunt seems ironic, to say the least. But I think as you framed it exactly the right way. What courts have now said over and over again is the current legislature, the current legislators serving, have been elected from districts that were unconstitutional, that violated the Constitution, the Equal Protection Clause. And so, given that, what else would an ordinary person think to do? But we need to fix that.
Yeah.
The fact that it's, you know, it'll be hard to do, that it's in the middle of a session, that it, you know, it'll be, it's a squeeze to try to have an election soon. None of that, I think, really justifies doing nothing.
Yeah, and that statement that you mentioned from the two Republicans in the state House or Senate, I can't remember now, but that called it a political stunt, said, "Well, we haven't gotten a court order telling us we have to do it in the next 14 days. Like, the court struck your action down as unconstitutional. You shouldn't need a court order at this point. You should just do the right thing." But apparently, that's too much.
Well, and the other thing is, it's interesting, you know, sort of in sort of basic principles of remedying injuries, the court's initial response is always to give the legislative branches,
yes,
or the executive branch, a chance to craft the remedy itself. You know, that's true in voting rights. It's true in the history of school desegregation. You know, the first line was to say, okay, what you've done is unconstitutional. Fix it.
Now it's on you to fix it.
And it's only after the state would either refuse to do so or fail to that the court would then say, okay, now the court will do it. The court will draw the maps.
Yeah.
And so it makes perfect sense that the governor would say, the ball is in our court.
Let's do it,
let's do it right.
Yep. Whether
that will happen, I think, given the hyper-partisanship generally and around the voting issues in particular, is I'm not optimistic.
OrangeCountyNC.gov for more info on county events and happenings and government information. Again, budget work session tomorrow night at 7 p.m. in the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
Aaron, it's always great to see you.